Gossipnista here, your one and only source into the real lives of New Yorkers and what it's like to live in New York City. So is it all glitz and glamour? Where do you start? What should you know? And who am I? I'll tell you everything you need to know, and you'll thank me for it. XOXO, Gossipnista. Hey everyone, welcome to the Gossipnista podcast. I'm your host, Mariana Monks. Thanks for joining me. If you're here, you probably love New York City as much as I do. And today I have an episode that's sure to remind us why New York City is one of the best places in the world and where, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, and especially during a pandemic. But first, in last week's episode, I spoke to a staple of the Empire State, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who's running for mayor of New York City in 2021. Yes, this is a huge role to fill. And in our interview, Eric discusses what his plans for New York City are should he be elected, how we can all be active participants in its revival, what he likes and dislikes about the city. So if you haven't yet listened to that episode, episode 14, please be sure to tune in. In this week's episode, I interview Brandon Valadez, who I actually met through this podcast, who says you can't meet people and make friends in unconventional ways nowadays. I've followed Brandon's journey from another state to New York City now. Like many, Brandon had always wanted to make the move to New York, but as a pandemic hit, the move was put on hold. That is, until all signs continued to point to New York City and no other state could fill the void. Brandon bought a one-way ticket and he's now in New York City. In our interview, Brandon and I discuss his journey to New York, why New York, tips on how to move to New York, and so much more. Here is my interview with Brandon. Hi, Brandon. I'm so happy to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. I am excited to hear your New York story. We've been talking back and forth for a while now. Brandon, are you originally from New York?
I am not. So I am from a very small town in Wisconsin called Elkhorn. That town is right on the Wisconsin-Illinois border. So I'm about an hour and a half north of Chicago and 45 minutes mm-hmm. south of Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. The biggest town, or like the bigger town next to us, is called Lake Geneva. And that's the more well-known, more famous town because a lot of people go there to vacation because of the lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're from Wisconsin, not a New Yorker.
No.
So then it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I mean, you're here now. So what made you make the move to New York? Why New York?
Yeah. So, well, New York and the people of New York are different, I think, from all the other people in this country and almost in the world because of the hustle and the resilience they have. I believe mm-hmm. New York is like the capital of the world. And if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And yeah. I thrive on the city life and being surrounded by other people who are here for the same thing to make their dreams come true. And also for the love of the city, it's just like, I need to be here too, because this is where my people are at, you know?
Yes. Oh, you gave me goosebumps. I love hearing that type of energy. But I mean, you're saying all this, right? And it's like, you just got here and yeah. you came here in the midst of a pandemic. So, I mean, does it still feel that way to you?
You know, I thought it would be like quote unquote worse here, mm-hmm. but I honestly feel almost safer here than where I was mm-hmm. at, because where I was at before, people weren't necessarily like taking the precautions, like not wearing masks, not doing all that. But here, everyone's like really on top of it, and everywhere's really on top of it here. And so I feel, you know, I still have that like, oh, was this really dumb of me to move during the pandemic? But also another part of me is like, no, like this is actually a good time, because I think when things look really bad or things are crumbling, that's where there's opportunity. And I think that's yeah. kind of how the world has ran. So I'm like, no, I'm getting in here. And if I can make it now, especially when it's back yeah. to its normal self, I'll be rock and rolling.
Oh my gosh, I love that you said that. Yes, there's opportunity, you know, here yeah. and especially during this time, because there just is where change is happening. You know, there's a rainbow on the other side. So that's so exciting to hear. And, you know, so I think we've mentioned that you're new here, but let's talk about that. How new are you here, you know, Brandon? And again, why New York?
Yeah, so I'm pretty new. I've only been to New York one other time before actually moving here.
What? No way.
I know, right? Well, and that's
when you came looking for apartments.
Right, in February, exactly. So, and that's the thing is, like, I knew that I needed to be here. I knew that I wanted to be here. And so, like, I don't know. And, like, that's what pushed me. Because I was like, okay, if I love a city that I've only been here for a week before, that I still dream about this city, I just know that I need to be here with these other people, because there's something about here where people move here to make their dreams come true, for the life of the city, for the hustle, the bustle, and the grind. Like, that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm still want to be here, despite of the pandemic and despite of the, you know, all the other stuff that comes with the difficulties that you have to face while moving here.
And so in February you came, this was right before the pandemic hit, to kind of look for apartments, because you've been planning a move here. You are here and you're fairly new now. We're going to, you know, wait on this part to get more into it a little bit later. But what I do want to know now is, so what neighborhood do you currently live in, and why?
So I live in the Upper West Side, and I live in a little town called Inwood. Honestly, I live here because this is where there was an open apartment. And I really like it here, though, because of all the families that live here and the culture, and just there's a good sense of community here. There's lots of kids in the streets and families sitting outside and listening to music and whatnot, lots of families everywhere. So, yeah, I really like it. Do I want to stay here forever? No, but it's good for right now where I'm at.
Right. It's a beginning. You're in New York and you're here. So, hey, that's amazing. So. Yeah. What has your experience been like so far in New York, you know, aside from your neighborhood? Like, what are you feeling?
It's been pretty fantastic, actually. It's definitely different from the last time I was here, because there's not as many people. But I'm surrounded by the locals and the people who call this place home. There's not really any tourists. So it feels like I'm already living like a New Yorker, even though I'm far from a New Yorker. But it feels cool just to be around people like, like families in the park, like, oh, this is their community. This is where they grew up and their kids are playing here. And this is, you know, their childhood. And I get to kind of be a part of that as I sit in the park and read.
That's awesome. So it's cool. You know, you're saying like, you know, you're not a New Yorker yet, but the more I like talk to people and the more I'm here and like, even just like, I think being a New Yorker is a state of mind. It's not so much a time frame. So I think we're New Yorkers. I'm going to say that, you know, we moved during a pandemic here, or you're a New Yorker.
I like it. Okay.
Yes. So, what do you specifically like and dislike about New York, Brandon?
What I like is that everything is so walkable. I can be in the city and like parts of the city and with buildings and get groceries or shop. But then I can easily walk two streets over and have dinner in the park, and I'm completely surrounded by nature. That is something I absolutely love, and a reason why I love this city too. Back home, it was pretty much just like all country, which is fine too, but I like just the dichotomy of that. But what I dislike, honestly, so I don't know if I dislike this, but the noise is getting hard to, like, it takes some time getting used to. Like last weekend when I was trying to sleep, the people on the street were playing music, blasting music.
There was a block party.
Yeah, and like all night. And then it went into the morning. I was like, okay, they'll be done by 3 in the morning.
My gosh.
Still going.
God, I have to visit your neighborhood now. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you get block parties in all neighborhoods, but I've definitely been in a neighborhood where I got block parties. And I remember telling my friend, and this was only when I was Airbnb-ing, I believe it was like the 116th block. It was like Harlem Center. And she's like, oh, well, you're really not in New York unless you like have someone having a block party out in front of you. But yes, it was going on all night, the music, you know, and then the buses, the sirens, the everything.
Yes.
And, so you're not used to that yet.
Not yet, but I'm sleeping more through the night now than I was in the beginning. So I'm like, it'll be fine. It just gets taken used to, of course, I like quiet, but it's part of New York.
Yeah. It'll be a lullaby later
exactly. on. Yeah, because when I go home, it'll be like, where's all the noise? I hear nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you're not going home, right?
Like, No. I mean, like, to visit. I meant to visit. Yes, right. Like when I visit home, I should say. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. So, and then what do you remember last time you came in February post-pandemic versus what it is now? Like, do you see a major difference?
Oh, totally. I mean, I just think like all the people, like that's the biggest thing is back in February, there was tons of people in the streets. You were kind of, you know, in front of you, behind you. And here, there's not as much. Like I said, it's pretty much just the locals. And you kind of have, you just kind of watch a little, like you keep your distance from people. And you're not always like around a bunch of people, and the subways aren't as crowded as they were back in February. So that's kind of nice too.
Have you been taking the subway?
Yes, I have.
You have. Good for you.
Yeah.
I have yet to go on my first subway ride since March.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've actually stayed away. Not for any particular reason. I think my husband and I just like walking. I mean, we've walked like 80 to 100 blocks.
Yeah, sure.
So like, wow. And everything's so walkable around us.
Yep.
So then we do have a car. So we're fortunate in that sense. But that's only if we leave state of New York. But I love that you're like the subway, and how is it? Like, tell us, like,
it's good. It's clean. That's the thing is, they're really clean. So actually before I moved home, I was eating breakfast, with my cousin at a restaurant, and my friend was the waitress, and she was serving a table next to us. And she was like, oh, this is, you know, Brandon, he's moving to New York. And then I talked to this lady, who was from Brooklyn, that she was visiting there. And I was talking to her, and she goes, she's like, you're going to love it. The subways are the cleanest they've ever been. I was like, oh my goodness, that's awesome. And they definitely are. It feels very clean. Like I said, there's not as many people, so it's more spread out. But I definitely see what you're saying, where I thought that too, where if I didn't go, you know, venture out in the city, I definitely wouldn't need to take the subway anywhere, because everything, I have a park here, groceries, stores here, there's restaurants here, there's lots of things here. And of course, I'm trying to be more careful too, you know, of where I'm going. You know, I've just taken the subway when I'm trying to get somewhere, as opposed to just like, you know, sauntering out into the city, because I'm trying to be mindful of that still because of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Well, glad to hear that the subways are great and rideable and clean. So I'm definitely going to probably take my first ride ASAP. And so on that note, Brandon, you know, how are you feeling about the city? Are you feeling like it's lively energy? Do you think the energy will ever go back to what it used to be?
I think so. I think New York is so resilient and strong. I mean, New York is New York, and it's been around for such a long time, and I don't think it's going anywhere, at least not anytime soon. I just can't imagine a place like without New York. For all the stuff that it's withstood and all the good things that come from New York, I think this is just a little bump in the road. I mean, it's a big bump in the road, but I think that it's going to get back to where it's at, because people want it to get back to, like, people want to be here. People want life to go back to how it was. And it might look different, but I think it's going to get back to the hustle and bustle, to what it was before.
Yes, agreed. And we're all keeping our fingers crossed for that sooner versus later.
Right.
Lastly, Brandon, on this note of your New York story, I like to ask, you know, what advice would you give to someone who is new to the city?
I would say be kind to yourself and take your time. For anyone moving here, it's such a huge adjustment. And honestly, it's really intimidating trying to figure out even just like the subway and, you know, what subway to take, where you're walking, which street you're going. And it's intimidating because everyone around you knows what they're doing, or at least it seems like they know what they're doing. But honestly, like what I've been telling myself and what I would tell other people is just take your time and be kind to yourself, because there's no possible way you're going to be able to figure everything out within a week, within a month. It just, it takes time, and you're going to figure it out. And I'm trying to find like small victories, like, oh, if I can find, I don't need my GPS. I'm able to walk down the street and see where I need to go and do this. And that's something that I didn't do yesterday. And now I've done it. Now I have that experience, and then just build from there. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love the small little victories you're talking about. Yes. Whether you're going west, or whether you're going east or north or south and up this street, like I'm just like figuring these type of things. I mean, I am actually walking around and I do things now, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm this person.
Yeah.
Well, my first episode asked Subway Creatures, like, how do people know this and that? And I'm like, oh my God, I know this and that now.
Right, right.
And it's like, it took, and I'm going to tell you, because I hadn't fully been in the city, fully, only about like 3 to 4 months, or even, and that's just me. It could take a lot less, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people it takes even like longer, but some people it takes even shorter. So,
I mean,
be kind to yourself, like Brandon is saying. You are going to one day look and be like, oh my God, like, you know, it's not difficult. And be kind to yourself, even if right now you think it's difficult, like, just take time. Gossipnista here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I wanted to hop in here to ask that if you haven't yet, if you could please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. This will help me reach more people and spread the word about New York City and those who love it. And if you want to stay up to date, be sure to follow at Gossipnista Podcast on Instagram. Now, back to the show. All right, Brandon. So, I mean, the segment is called Moving to New York During a Pandemic to Follow Your Dreams. I want to move into specifically what your background is. Tell us, you know, what is it that your background is, Brandon, and what led you to New York to specifically follow that dream?
Okay, so there's a little bit of a story with this. So okay. We got this. All right. So here it goes. I studied theater and English in college, and was trained as a theater actor in college, as well as I studied literature, writing, grammar, all that stuff in college. And with the hopes to become a professional actor, acting is something I've always wanted to do since I was little.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, yeah. And so now, like, I was like, okay, here I am. Here we go. And so what I did is, after graduating, I got my first acting job in Milwaukee, and it was really cool. It was a Shakespeare show, and I had a really good experience doing it, but I actually kind of struggled with it while I was doing it, and I didn't love it as much as I thought, and I was like, crap, you know, this is what I wanted to do. Why isn't this just absolutely everything that I thought? And after the show was done, I ended up moving out to Detroit, where my brother and sister-in-law were at, because they were like, why don't you just come out here and you can figure stuff out, clear your head, try new stuff. And so I needed to go on a journey and figure things out. And while I was there, I ended up getting a job teaching at a boarding school. And it was such an incredible experience. I loved it. I grew so much. And I was teaching what I was super passionate about and what I knew a lot about, which is literature and writing and grammar. And then after that, I went and taught at a school outside of Milwaukee. And while I was there, I was like, I need something more. Like, there's got to be something more in my life besides this. And, you know, teaching was great. I loved it. It was so fulfilling, but I just knew I wanted more. And so with that, I thought I'd wanted to go to grad school. And so that was my plan, was to go to grad school and become an English professor. But after I had left the school and tried to find colleges and universities to apply to, I was really struggling, because I was like, I couldn't decide on a school. I didn't know if I wanted to study here in America or go out to the United Kingdom or what. Like, yeah, it was so difficult. And then in my brain, I was thinking, something nudged me again, like, hey, remember when you wanted to act and it wasn't it wasn't everything you thought it was going to be. And then now you've grown a lot and you've seen a lot and you've traveled. Yeah, you were here. And like, I would tell all my students, you know, follow your dreams, do what you absolutely love, always, you know, pursue what sets your soul on fire. And I was like, oh, I need to follow that too. I need to do that. And through some serendipitous events, I was like, you know what? I need to pursue this again. I need to get back in there and try acting again. And while I was doing this, I was writing as well. So I'm a writer. I write novels, and I'm trying to get published. And that's what I was doing during all this time while I was teaching as well. And I'd finished two books with, you know, during that time. And so
that's something you had going that, like, you weren't really focused on, but it was there in the backdrop the whole time.
Exactly. Right. And that's the thing is, like, writing is so interesting, because at least the type of writing I do is, because you can do that like while you're doing anything else, because, you know, you just need an hour a day, 2 hours a day, or however long, whatever your writing style is, and how you do that with that. So as I was teaching, as I was trying to figure this stuff, I still am writing all, you know, all this while. And then back in September of last year, that's when I made the decision of moving to New York. I have friends here that are doing acting. I wanted to be acting on the stage, wanted to do acting on the stage. And so then I took the year to just train more back where I was at and save a lot of money and work. And then I was planning to move in June, but of course the pandemic, things got, you know, held off until now when this opportunity opened up for me to be here. And now here I am. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is such an interesting story. I mean, you got to do pretty much a bit of everything you went to school for, but your heart, you know, brought you back to acting, and all along the while, like, writing was there. So New York is the perfect place to be if you're going to be an actor, if you're going to be a writer, right? And you mentioned you published 2 books. So definitely, I think you made the right move. So, okay. You know, you do both writing and acting. Have you found it difficult here in New York pursuing those careers, and especially now?
I would say yes and no. Yes, I would say it's difficult in that everyone here is trying to do it. But no, because you're surrounded by other people who are trying to do the same things you're doing. So it gives you a good foundation and helps you focus, kind of to keep up with the competition in a nice way. And also you can encourage each other with that. Everyone's here for the same thing. And I think that makes it easier, as opposed to where if you're not around people trying to do the same thing, it can get kind of hard, in that you get discouraged because you're like, well, I feel like I'm the only one in this boat, and you're really not here in New York.
Yeah, you have like a supportive and a group, and it's motivational to kind of just have that energy around you. Completely. That's great. And so in regards to the genre of writing that you do, you know, like what's the genre and the published books that you mentioned you had? And then how does one get published?
Yeah. So I'm not published yet. So I've just written. Okay. So I'm not a published author yet, but I'm working towards that right now. Okay. But awesome. I write in a couple different genres. So I have 2 complete novels. One is a fantasy and one is a historical. I've started writing in contemporary as well, but I put that on the shelf for right now. But I'm currently writing a murder mystery that takes place in the present. But my historical one that that I've written and the one that I'm writing right now is categorized as young adult, meaning it's for people that are 13 to 18 years old. Kind of like middle school, high school. And for getting published, so there's 2 ways that you can get published. There is the self-publishing route and the traditional publish route. And for self-publishing, essentially you have your book, you write it, you can hire a freelance editor to kind of, you know, clean it up for you. You can hire a graphic designer to make your book cover for you. And then you can do it a couple of different ways. You could do it through a company, you could do it through Amazon, and they'll, you know, you just upload all your files and they put it in a book for you. And there you go. You could sell your book tomorrow if you wanted to. And what's nice about that is that you get all the money essentially with that, and you have the say 100% of the way as you go through.
Right. You own your book still, your copyrights, right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do that, as opposed to traditional publishing, where you're not going to have as many rights, but I would say there's probably a little more security almost, like with self-publishing, I'm sorry, with traditional publishing. And so with traditional publishing, you have your manuscript, your book, you polish it really nice. And what you do then is you pitch it to agents. And so you do research trying to find which agents represent the types of books and the genres that you write and you want to write. And you send them a like 2-3 paragraph pitch to their email saying like, hey, my name is Brandon. This is what my book is about. Here's a synopsis. Here's a little bit about me. I would love for you to take a look at it. And then you'll either get a rejection or a, hey, we want to read more. And then if they like you a lot, they'll request for more, set up a meeting with you. And if they really believe in your book and really believe in you and want to work with you, they will sign, you'll sign a contract with them. And then they represent your book. And then they go in front of the publishing houses and pitch your book. And then from there, hopefully a publishing house will like it enough to want to publish it. And then they take care of the rest of the, you know, of the formatting, the editing, the cover art. And so you get a lot of professional people working on it, which is really nice. And they, you know, and of course you have to do marketing yourself and all that, but they do a lot of marketing too.
They help.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do. I am currently in the querying process. That's what it's called when you try to pitch. So I'm pitching to agents right now for my YA historical to get published. So
that as I'm is writing so exciting. One.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh my gosh. So I was about to ask, like, in which route were you going towards? And so you're going towards the not self-publishing, but having someone publish your book for you.
Yeah.
And you know your ins and out of everything you're supposed to be doing. You're the person to talk to in regards to this. Well, I have no doubt you will be published.
Thank you.
So thanks so much for sharing all those details with us on how to get published, Brandon. Now, do you think landscape has changed here in New York for writers and actors now due to COVID?
Writers, kind of, in that there aren't book promotions or book tours going on, and that stinks for mm-hmm. them because that can be really helpful. But mm-hmm. also people are reading in quarantine and reading in their houses, and you can write in your room without people. So that really hasn't changed. It's just kind of adjusted a little bit, but for acting, it's definitely taken a hit because everything was paused for a couple months, and for live theater and Broadway, it's still continuing mm-hmm. to be paused, mm-hmm. up until next year. And who knows what'll happen with that. But for film and TV, it's starting to film again within these last couple of weeks, but with more precautions, and auditions are online now, which is cool. Because you can take as many takes as you want and audition online, and you can get the perfect audition, you know, because sometimes if you go to a live audition in front of the people, you mess up and there's nothing you can do about it. But here you can make it as best as you want. But with that, then a con of that means a lot of people then are sending in their auditions too. So, you know, it has its pros and cons.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what you're saying is instead of actually like having a virtual meeting with someone and doing the audition, you're like pre-recording it yourself and you're sending it in. And that's how it's kind of working right now.
Right. Although I think some places are doing like a Zoom audition. Like, hey, okay, like sign up for an audition slot. Yeah, it varies. Right. But it's all online. It's virtual, which is how the industry is moving already. But COVID has really pushed it, which I think is kind of nice too, because then you could essentially live almost anywhere and still mm-hmm. audition and get things. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's better if you're here and they do want to see you in person. Right. Mm-hmm. And they do book you. So, hey, you have everything in place to kind of just make these things happen. And so, you know, you mentioned Broadway, Brandon, and is that something you want to do? You know, it's dark right now. Broadway is dark until next year. I mean, do you know anyone in Broadway? What's the situation with Broadway?
Yeah, so I know I don't know anyone personally who's on Broadway, but I have friends that know people that are on Broadway. So like I you know, keep up with the community pretty well. Mm-hmm. It's definitely shut down until next year, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. What's difficult is because, of course, with Broadway, you know, you have a couple hundred people, a couple thousand people packed into a theater watching live, and you know, we're not gonna be able to do that. And I know a lot of shows are trying to find ways. Like I know in the UK, for one show, they were like, okay, what if we had it like outside and people could come in their cars, but then that got shut down. So they're trying to figure out ways to do it, but I don't know, it's so difficult right now to say. And is it even safe? You know, it's like, is it safe or is it worth it right now? And with that, a lot of people are leaving the industry, I think, as well with that, which sucks. But because, you know, there's no work right now. Yeah.
100%. But a lot of people have worked so hard to get to, you know, Broadway for it to go dark because of something like this. But hopefully we find a way, right, to bring it back somehow.
I'm sure I think so. I mean, live theater has been around for thousands of years, and I think it's such a part of us as humans. Like, we need stories, and we need that as humanity, like for humanity. And that's when, like, it's not gonna go anywhere, and it's just gonna adjust in some way if it does change. So it'll be here in some way.
Yeah, entertainment, art, like culture, it's all vital to us. Like, we need it.
Exactly.
So with that note, Brandon, you know, I kind of want to end this specific segment on, we talked about what your background is, you know, where you're looking to go, but what's the ultimate dream goal in New York City?
My ultimate dream goal. So for writing, I want to be a published author with one of the big five publishers in New York City. That would be my ultimate dream goal. My ultimate dream is to have income coming in writing with my books, with one of those publishers. And for acting, it would be to be part of a Broadway play or a touring production. I also want to land a role on a TV show or a movie. Theater is my heart and my foundation, but I definitely want to start, you know, and that's what I'm doing now, is learning how to do film, TV acting in front of the camera. And I want to do that. But those would be my ultimate goals here in New York.
I love it. Any specific type of shows you like, genres and things along those lines?
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like period dramas, like, or period shows. So like shows that take place in like the 1800s or 1900s. I would love, just because like for the costumes, like just put me in, you know, like Peaky Blinders, put me in a fitted suit or something like Downton Abbey or something like that. I would love that for like a movie or a TV show. And for a play, I would love to be in a comedy. I think that would be fun. Just the idea of like being in a show where people are just coming to laugh and just get away from their life, and you bring that entertainment to them. Something like that would be something I would really love to do.
I could totally see you in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, thanks.
And the other ones. Yeah, I love those shows. So thanks for sharing that. How exciting. Well, you're in New York, the city of dreams, and happy to have you here, Brandon. Gossipnista here. Hey everyone, Brandon and I have been discussing moving to New York, and everyone's situation will be different. With that said, I wanted to know a couple of apps that I have found useful for moving to New York City. Number one, Street Easy. Street Easy is one of the best apps to find an apartment in New York City. Number two, Digz, D-I-G-G-Z. This is a leading online roommate marketplace search that'll be helpful to those looking for roommates like Brandon has. Number three is Spare Room, another roommate sharing app that you can look for rooms. I hope this has been helpful to you, and I hope this helps you in your move. Now, back to our show. Let's roll into our third segment, where I'd love to give the audience some tips on how you made the move to New York City. I know we started talking about your New York story earlier, but what people don't know is, you literally just made the move recently, and you have these tips on pretty much how to move from another state to New York. How long ago did you move to New York, Brandon?
At the beginning of August. So not so, yeah, literally just a couple of weeks ago.
So no joke. Yeah. And that is amazing. So you're like fresh off the boat. I don't know if I'm allowed to use that term, you're here. So tell us, what are the first steps that someone takes to move to New York City?
Definitely the first step I would say is to save money. That is that is the thing, right? You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'd move, but you know, it's the money, or it's so expensive there and it's the money. And it's true. It is. It does take money to move here. And so with that, save money, take your time and save the money. And that's what I did back home. And so I was able to do that. My next step I would say is to have a very solid foundation of people that support you, whether that's friends, family, or even yourself. That is super important. I have a very supportive family, a very supportive friends. And I think myself, I'm grounded enough that I am able to like, be like, yeah, you can do this and it's going to be hard. But you know, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And so the people that are here, the people that want to be here, and you want to be here, there's something you've wanted for so long. So I think being grounded is super important. I would also say research New York City as much as you can. And with that, even listening to a podcast, and that's what I did. And that's how I found your podcast. And like, it helped me feel so prepared gearing up to this move, because you're listening to other people that are living here, New Yorkers that are telling you what to do and how it works. And it helped me. Like when you did the subway creatures one, like I remember that one too. And yeah, that helped a lot. And you've had, people who are like talking about renting apartments or what to do in the city, all of that. Like I would listen to that and I would just take that content, because you then now have that in your brain to think about, and you're like, oh, this is how you do it.
Thank you for noting that, and thank you for telling us all those great tips. 100% agree with you on the money, having the support system, and then being very knowledgeable of coming to New York. Those are all great tips. Do you mind if I like probe into, like, you don't even have to say where you're at, but like, so what is a good average? And then on the support system, must you know someone here, do you think?
Money-wise, I would say it's a tough question. I would say, because there's some people that I hear that they're like, oh, I moved to New York with $20 in my pocket and I made it. But I don't think that is I think that's rare. And I don't know if that's always the smartest thing. I mean, unless, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's the smartest thing. If you have a good job where you're at and can save money, I would say at least $5,000 saved up.
Five.
Because, yeah, okay. I mean, I would say so. I mean, at least okay. enough that you could live here for two months or a month mm-hmm. without having to worry about anything, because there's so many small things like in the move that you mm-hmm. have to think about, like, oh, I need, so, you know, at least a couple things of furniture. I need to get on the subway. I need to buy a pass. Okay. I need to do all this stuff. So I would mm-hmm. say at least $5,000 minimum. Okay. And then go from there.
Okay.
I think with $5,000, you'll be okay.
Well, yeah. I like that you're saying that, because that's good versus like $20, right?
Or right. Yeah. No, you have cushion.
Could say $10,000, but perfect. This is straight yeah. coming from you. So I like that. And then support system, you knew some people here. Do you think someone must know someone here?
No, because a lot of people move here without knowing people. But mm-hmm. it does help a lot to know people here, mm-hmm. because they can show you the ropes. And mm-hmm. but no, I mean, I don't think so. But like I said, I think it's easier, because I think of, there's lots of people that, you know, that are immigrants, or I've heard stories of people that are like, I wanted to be in New York, so I moved here and I figured it out by myself. And that's great if you can do that. I don't think that's the majority. I think and those people, I think, also would say, I wish I knew someone here, you know, as well. I think if you can have a connection, even if it's one person, someone that's here, make that connection, and yeah. so it's easier.
100%. Reach out to me, guys. Hey,
yeah.
I'm here.
So, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. And then thank you for sharing about my podcast and that it was helpful to you, Brandon. This is, yeah. again, it's exactly why I created it. It's to help people like yourself who wanted to come to New York, because I was that person at some point and I had a million questions, and I wanted to get them answered for others. Now I'm sharing your story, which is so amazing, because you Thanks. Have done the same thing. So I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank
and
you.
We are doing this, of course. Okay, so let's get further into specifics, Brandon. Did you drive here? Did you fly? You know, take a train? Like, how did you get here? How did you move your stuff? What did you have to leave behind? Like, let's hear about that.
Yeah, so that was actually a little more difficult than I thought, in that, like, trying to figure out what I needed to take. Someone was like, oh, you're moving to New York, so now you have to, like, figure out what worldly possessions you want to take with you. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh my goodness, like, what are the things that I want to take? And like, I knew I know myself enough that what would make me feel like more at home here would be if I had mm-hmm. all my clothes, mm-hmm. like pretty much all, you know, that I had back home. So I went through, I'm like, okay, what do I know that I can get rid of that I don't wear anymore? So I did that. Mm-hmm. And then all the mm-hmm. clothes that I had, I shipped a couple boxes over here, and then I flew Southwest. So I got two 350-pound suitcases and a carry-on.
Wow.
So I stuffed all that in that as well. So I was able to bring okay. pretty much everything, but also because I'm such a huge literature and writing guy, what was so mm-hmm. difficult is that I had to leave my books at home, and I still brought a good amount. I think I brought like 10, 12 books.
Okay.
But still, like, that was very difficult for me to try to decide. And just like leave those back, because they're books I've collected throughout the years, and some mm-hmm, I prize mm-hmm. a lot. But mm-hmm. but yeah, so like that was that, and so I was able to ship some stuff here, take some with me, and then I flew here, which was really nice because there weren't as many people on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. yeah, so
Southwest, right?
Southwest, yeah, and that's what I suggest if you're coming here and if you're moving, because of the, you know, you get two suitcases, carry on, mm-hmm. and then a personal item as well.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So Southwest, and then you ship some boxes. And that's the thing, though. You had somewhere to ship it to prior, right?
Right.
So tell us about that, like how you landed your apartment and how you shipped it. And was it expensive shipping these things? How many things did you ship? I'm just curious about these logistics.
Yeah, no, sure. Totally. So my apartment, I have a friend that had an open room and asked if I wanted it. And I was like, yeah, for sure. So I already had a place. So I had the privilege of having a place here. If you don't have an apartment already, that's going to be a little more difficult. Well, and also I think if you're moving here, you would need some sort of a place anyways, mm-hmm. whether that's a friend you're staying with, or if you've already signed on to an apartment. Mm-hmm. But so I took, so I had three boxes, two big boxes and one smaller one. And I would say the average for the two big ones, the average was like $60, $65. And the smaller one, I think was like $40. So it wasn't terrible. Like, I think altogether I spent like $150, $160 on stuff. But that is like, I put more of my heavier stuff, like books, some of my like heavier sweaters, mugs, things like that. Mm-hmm. I have my microphone, my camera tripod, things like that. I put that in there because that was easier to just kind of ship. And I actually wasn't even planning on doing that. I was like, oh, I'll only ship one box over and then everything could fit in my suitcases. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was like the day before I left, as I was packing, I was like, there's no way. And there was about an hour left before the post office closed. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stuff everything and I'll just pay whatever I have to pay. Okay. And that's what I did. And I got to the post office with like 15 minutes left to spare and I shipped it. And then here just fine. But honestly, like it was worth, and that's the thing is like, I was like, man, I'm spending kind of a lot of money, but like in the long run, it's really not as much if you have the money saved up, because that's the thing is like, if you come to New York thinking, you know, if I'm like, okay, I'm going to give myself 9 months to save. If you're saving money, when you have that money saved, you're like, you can tell yourself, you can breathe. Like, I save money for New York so I can spend that extra money sending stuff. I can spend that extra money buying something nice here, buying something here, because I have taken that time. I've been patient for that. And this is when you get to reap that while you were, you know, doing the grind and working back at your job before your move. And that's like the mentality I had when I was shipping stuff.
That's motivational for sure. I love that mentality. Thanks for sharing those details, Brandon. And so, did you tell me you were like sold your car? Is that something that happened?
Yeah, I did. So I'm laughing because it was, so I had sold it within the last week, because I was like, you know what, this car is going to sell really easily. But what had happened was I had put it up for sale, and I felt like it hurt my heart a little, because that car has been with me for such a long time. Aww. It's taking me to and from so many places, and it was a good little car, and I was selling it. And so I put it up for sale, and I was leaving on a Sunday, and a guy had wanted to come look at it on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the guy, he was really interested, and I was like, so I showed up to show him, like to show him the car, and then he never showed up. And I was so frustrated. I was like, I was pretty disappointed. But my parents were like, you know what? Like, it's fine. They're like, even if you go to New York, even if you don't sell it, like, it's not, you know, we'll sell it for you. It's fine. I was like, thank you. Right. Like, I appreciate that. And so, like, I went home and I was just sitting down. I remember I just was like, I prayed and I was like, God, please, can you please just like let it sell? And no joke, within the hour, someone had called me saying their car had broken down. And they said, like, hey, I saw your car. I want it. Like, they're like, can we look at it? And I want it. And I was like, yeah. So I, you know, showed up there and sold them the car, and I, you know, and I had that. And so that was really, really awesome. It's like, that was really cool. And I sold it. Yeah. So I was like, okay, like, this is another sign that like, yes, you're meant to be in New York. Yes. It's going to work out for you. If all this stuff has worked out, things are going to work out.
Oh my gosh. You're just manifesting left and right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that all the doors were, you know, pointing towards New York or leading towards New York. Amazing. Okay. So then you got here, Brandon, you know, you took care of all those little logistics. You made it to New York. What's the first thing you did when you got to New York?
Went to my apartment and I freshened up a little bit. I wanted to see. Yeah, no, it was cool. No. So I remember I had to get some things from Target. So I did that. And then, I went to Shake Shack and I went to Central Park. Had dinner there with my friend, and that's what I did. And then I went to Battery Park as well and just saw it. And I'm trying to be careful of like where I'm going as well, so I'm not trying to do as much stuff just because the place I was at in Wisconsin was pretty high risk. And so I'm trying to like still like quarantine myself a little bit, but like that time has already passed. And I've been good, thank goodness, you know, and been like really careful where I've been going. But you know, but like that's what I did. I was like, I'm gonna go eat, I'm gonna sit in Central Park, and it was so nice just being there. And it was kind of like, okay, you could soak it in, like you're here. And it's still like, I'm still like adjusting. It doesn't feel like it's quite real yet, even though you're here, but you do get those little small moments where it's like, wow, like I'm in the capital of the world. I'm in New York right now.
Yeah, 100%. Because you get here and then you're just so immersed in the grind, right? And you don't stop to be like, look, I'm here. I made it.
Yep.
thanks for sharing what you did when you got here in New York. Like, you know, overall, what do you hope to do while you're here in New York? Like, whether it be like seeing touristy spots, go to, I don't know.
Yeah. So once things start calming down with COVID, I want to do everything here in like New England. It's because there's so much history here. I'm already making plans. Like, I want to go to Salem, Massachusetts and see like the Salem witch trial spots, or I want to go to Concord, Massachusetts and see the Louisa May Alcott House or Little Women. And like, I want to just see all these sites and like do little tours and like go to like a haunted tour or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I just want to see all that. And just see all these spots of like all these places that I've read about since I was little and like know the history about. And I want to make strong roots here and connections here and make friends here and just explore New England and do all that. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do while I'm here.
That sounds fun. I'll probably come with you.
Let's go.
Perfect. Brandon, thank you so much for sharing your New York story. It is such a great story. You are new to New York and you're sharing everything you've gone to get here. And it's only the beginning, and we might have a follow-up, interview with you so you can share like what the progress has been in New York. But in the meantime, please tell everyone where they can connect with you, where they can learn more about you, just keep up to date with you, Brandon.
Yeah. So you can follow me on my social media at Call Me Brandon V. That's Instagram, Twitter. You can follow me there. If you want to know more about me or see more of my stuff, if you want to read a short story of mine, you could go on my website, BrandonValadez.com. And you can find more information from there. Also, if I could plug this, my younger brother and I have our own podcast where we talk about Disney movies. And it's super fun. And that's called Storm the Castle. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And you can follow our Instagram at storm.thecastle as well.
You guys are so great as hosts together. And I love Disney movies. Tell us about the plot of Storm the Castle. Like, you guys review Disney movies?
That's literally it. My younger brother and I had this idea about like last year. We're like, hey, would it be cool if we just like did a podcast and we just talk about Disney movies? Like, we'll just review one. And I was like, yeah, sure. But we never did it. And then when Disney Plus came out, we're like, oh, this is perfect. We can do this. So essentially we just pick a movie and we're like, let's talk about it. So it's kind of, we've switched back and forth every time, and we get pretty into it. My brother and I are pretty like philosophical and deep, I think, you know. I don't know what, like, hope that doesn't sound like, you know, like super arrogant, but like, so we like to get really like deep with movies and just talk about it. And we have guests that come on as well sometimes. And right now we're discussing Hamilton. We did an intro episode, and then Monday we're going to be recording our next one. It's been kind of, our schedule's been like really crazy this summer with lots of stuff, but like, you know, we're doing it. So yeah, if you want to listen, you can follow us there.
Perfect. Well, thank you for sharing where people can connect with you and where they can listen to you on your own podcast and journey. Brandon, it's been such a pleasure, and I can't wait to see you and actually hang out with you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah, this podcast is great and it's helped me so much, and I hope it helps other people as well. And if I move to New York, you can do it too.
Thanks for tuning in to Gossipista. Your support means the world. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and share this podcast with your friends. Can't wait till next week's episode? Follow along on Instagram at Gossipista to get my latest New York happenings. But if you live and breathe New York City like I do and want even more, go to our website at gossipista.com, explore, and subscribe to our newsletter to get insider tips first. Lastly, if you have any questions and or scoop on the city, you can email me at gossipnista@gmail.com. Until next time, you know you love me. XOXO, Gossipnista.